Welcome to the VRV podcast, where we highlight different better-known businesses and nonprofits. All right, everybody, I'm really, really excited because we've got our next guest up on the podcast. So coming out of Virginia this morning, I've got Brian with the Patriot Moose. So Brian, welcome, brother, and please tell us about yourself and your military service.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having us. We're proud to have this opportunity. So I joined the Army National Guard kind of late in life. I was 35 when I signed on the dotted line. My 17th anniversary is coming up next month, as a matter of fact. I joined with the grand idea that I was going to be a JAG officer for the Army. So I went to boot camp and then went to AIT as to be a paralegal for the Army. And but after that, I went straight into officer candidate school and commissioned out of South Carolina National Guard's OCS program. Got my commission as a second lieutenant in August of 2006.
Okay.
Come 2008. Since 2008, I've been in some full-time capacity for the National Guard, whether as a federal technician or whether overseas. And currently, I am an operations officer for the Army National Guard in Arlington. I've been on Title 10 status since October of 18. And so I manage a couple programs for the Guard at the national level. And that's my service in a nutshell.
Right on. Well, real quick, how was it for you? You know, because obviously joining late, you were doing some stuff beforehand. What brought you into joining the military so late in life?
Well, I think with a lot of people, or just like a lot of people, I think September 11th was definitely a huge catalyst. Okay. I distinctly remember where I was and what I was doing when the planes hit.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming out of the dentist chair, actually, when the first plane hit. I was pulling into the parking garage the second plane hit shortly thereafter. And by then we knew that this was no accident.
Right.
So September 11th was a huge catalyst. Although I didn't join until 3 years later. I think that because at that time I was set on becoming a JAG officer, transferring what I was doing in the civilian sector, working as a paralegal for law firms, and transferring that over into the service and hoping to go to law school someday.
Right.
And that was kind of the direction I was going. But once I got into OCS, I realized, hey, I didn't want to sit at a desk my entire career.
Right.
So it went a different direction.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, I just ask, because I actually get a lot of questions about that with it's usually people that are 25 and over that are asking, you know, they still want to join and they're like, I don't want to get thrown into the military. And I'm, you know, got a bunch of 18, 19 year olds running around trying to, you know, it's a different mix. So, but yeah, I always like to see people's viewpoints on it that have joined in, but yeah, man, that's cool. You're responsible for a lot of people's career paths and, you know, in the hole with their lives, with everything. So that's a huge responsibility that I couldn't do.
Yeah. It's definitely eye-opening. Shortly after I commissioned, I missed the opportunity to deploy to Afghanistan with one of our battalions out of South Carolina. And I didn't really go on my first deployment until 2012, and it was to Kosovo.
How did you get into doing the Patriot Moose with everything?
So I needed a hobby. I needed something to do other than working out. I'm really passionate about CrossFit. That's really all I was doing was CrossFit. And I needed something different to do. You know, one day I brought home a pallet from a warehouse at work, and it just sat in the garage. But I had the grand idea that I was going to turn it into a pallet flag. I just didn't know how to go about doing it. Finally, one day I took it out, and with the help of my now fiance.
Hey, congrats, man.
Thanks. We tackled it, made a pallet flag, and it turned out all right. As a matter of fact, it's sitting somewhere in the house. and then I proceeded to make a couple more, and I decided pallet flags are just too big and too heavy.
Right.
We made one, and we donated it to the daughter of a guy who he was a staff sergeant. Staff sergeant, sergeant first class, I don't remember, but he was a senior NCO. He was on his way to Tennessee over a holiday to visit family, and he died in a motorcycle wreck. We made it and gave it to his daughter. And the second one we gave was to the widow of a sergeant major who you know, died in an unfortunate accident. And then we realized, you know, hey, this is something that we want to keep doing. We started making flags out of just regular sheets of plywood. The very first flag that we sold, I called it Through Smoke and Sandstorms, and it was a flag with a distressed look with brown and black streaks just kind of like brushed across the flag.
Right.
The idea that I had behind it was, you know, whether it's through some battle that happened 200 years ago, or through Desert Storm or OEF, OIF, the flag has always been there. It's, you know, it's always gone forward. It's always worn on the sleeves of our men and women who serve. It's always going to be there. And we posted it up on Instagram, and within 5 minutes, someone was asking to buy it.
Right on.
Yeah. So we sold six more of that very same flag. And then it just kind of took off from there. We got our first commissioned work in January of 18. And it was for an organization out of South Carolina. And then our second commissioned work was the Citadel battle flag.
Yeah.
So we made that. And then it just kind of took off from there. Over the course of 1 year, between the two of us, we made over 70, 80 custom-made flags.
Dude, that's a lot for just starting up.
Yeah.
A lot. And so you had to learn how to swim pretty quick.
Yeah, and for two people, that was with full-time jobs, that was a lot. And we know, you know, ironically, I interviewed to work at Flags of Valor. I'm sure you're familiar with them. And they offered me a job. But at the time, I didn't know how I could do it with, you know, my full-time job and then do that on the side. And so I never took them up on their offer.
Yeah.
You know, you got companies like Flags of Valor and several other flag making companies out there. And when you're doing basically the same thing, you got to find a way to carve a unique niche for yourself.
Absolutely.
I think that we kind of have that in that everything that we do is hand painted. It's customized. Some of the designs that we do, there's a lot of sweat and tears that go into it.
Yeah, and that seriously, that leads up to what I was going to talk about next, is there are so many different flag makers out there, and I, you know, I love each and every one, but I can tell the differences in everyone, and yours does truly stand out because, I mean, they're fully hand painted with everything, dude, and they look great. I'm buzzing through your Instagram here, man. They look incredible, and that's not something that's, you know, for you pushing 70 flags in your first year. It's not like you've got this printing machine that slaps the paint on there. That's got to be a lot of time to be putting into all this.
Yeah, and you know, we were coming back from Nashville. We were doing a charity event for the Josh Powell Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we can talk about here in a
second. Yeah, absolutely.
And my fiance said, "What direction do you want to take this in?" She said, we can't really keep this up where we're hand painting everything, spending 3 or 4 hours a night doing, you know, she does all the custom artwork. It's a lot on her. And she and a couple of people have suggested, well, why not like screen print the designs onto the flags? And I thought to myself, well, then can we really say we're still, it's all done by hand, you know?
Right, right.
Do we lose that niche of saying we do everything by hand? Whereas if you're screen printing, you're relying on a machine, you're plastering it onto the wood. How would it take? There's a lot of, those are the nuances that we got to figure out.
You know, for me as a consumer, I love the hand-painted thing, but I totally get your guys's on your end. I think it's a matter of finding the balance where you can still have not only maintain your personal 9-to-5 jobs, but then having a personal life where you're not getting overwhelmed by, you know, pumping flags out like crazy. But right. I love that niche because you could truly tell, man. Just from your pictures, I can only imagine what they look like in person. You know, just from your pictures alone, man, it looks like there's just tons of, I guess, love and dedication that goes into it. So they look great.
Thanks. We appreciate it. We enjoy doing it. We enjoy the reactions of the people who receive the flags. I think what my fiance enjoys the most is that for those flags where the designs, you can take a little bit of liberty with it.
Mm-hmm.
There was one flag that we did for the retirement of a Navy senior enlisted, I think. And she was able to get a little creative, you know, like with the shading and stuff like that. You know, when we get to take a little bit of liberty, artistic license, with some of our designs, I think that's where I know she gets the most satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another barrier that I think that we want to overcome is with the military, everything's dress right dress. Everything has to be a certain way.
Right.
And, you know, that carries over into the emblems and the insignias that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be nice to have a little bit of latitude without taking away from the significance.
Right. No, absolutely. So where now, because you were telling me, how did you really get into woodworking? Because you said you had the palette that was kind of at your house. Is this all self-taught, not only with you with building and manufacturing the wood pieces, but then her with her painting? Can you tell us a bit about your background with each of those and how they kind of combined?
Well, I'll be the first to tell you, I know nothing about woodworking. You know, figuring out the dimensions. I happened to stumble across somebody else who did this as a hobby, and he put out there his dimensions. Okay. For a small flag, it's, 13 by 24, the stripes are going to be this big, blah, 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 blah. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, he put it out there. So I took his numbers and figured out, okay, well, this is the size wood that we need. I would go to Home Depot, say, take a piece of plywood and ask them to cut it up. And I would come home and bring the wood home, sand it down, draw out the lines. I use stencils for the stars. So that's the, I mean, that was the, that's the extent of my part. My fiance, she's a very artistic person to begin with.
Okay.
And she has been since childhood. So art and creating things, those aren't new to her.
Mm.
She has creative license, creative vision. So it really, that's a strength that we have in our corner. And I mean, we couldn't do the things that we did without her artistry.
Right.
So, would I like to have a router and, you know, do the carving and all that? Sure. But me and machines don't get along. I would probably lose all my limbs. And I would probably bring down the house. So it's good that the moose does not have any anything beyond a sander.
Hey, I was going to ask you about that too. Your name, the Patriot Moose. I'm assuming Moose is one of your nicknames / call sign.
Yeah, so my Korean first name is Moosuk.
Okay.
So a while back, I think it was 2010, 2011, one of my guard buddies, I was walking down the hallway one day and he said, "Hey, Moose." And that's how Moose came about.
I got you.
And Patriot Moose came about, as all good ideas do, one night at a restaurant on a napkin. That's how the Moose came, the Patriot Moose came about. And then the logo that we have, which is the moose facing forward, which that is not by coincidence, because, you know, with the flag always flying forward into battle.
Right.
We wanted the moose to face forward with the flag emblazoned, as it were, like a brand on his flank. So that's how that came about.
Right on, dude. Well, that's way cool. So, Korean nationality. Are you born here or are you born in Korea?
Yep, I'm first generation Korean. So
okay.
I was born in Detroit, raised in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's sweet. When did your parents come over?
I want to say they came over in 67, shortly after my sister was born. I remember the day they became American citizens. They were quite proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's way cool. So do you go back at all? Beyond military?
I haven't been back since, I want to say, before high school. I've only been once.
Yeah.
I would like to take my kids there someday. I would like to show them, you know, where their grandparents grew up and have them see the country. I'm sure it's a lot different from when I went. There were still, you know, primitive conditions when I went.
Right.
Now with the economic growth that Korea has been able to enjoy, they're leaps and bounds beyond what they were.
Yeah. It was last time I was stationed at stationed in Korea in what, 2002 to 2003, and we went up to Seoul, and I could only imagine now, but even back then, man, Seoul was a monster. It was crazy. So it was super cool. We ended up going and seeing I don't know if you listen to jazz at all, but there was a Wynton Marsalis jazz. He plays the trumpet, but there was a jazz concert we went and saw up there. It was pretty fun. So really cool, man. They got some awesome stuff out there. But I love seeing like the new technology stuff with the new modern architecture stuff, and then, you know, like across the street, you'll have this old school style, you know, Korean building built way back in the day. And it's pretty cool, man. I love it. I love history stuff like that. Yeah. So it's way cool. Right on. Well, dude, so you hinted on the Josh Powell Foundation a bit, because you, one of the things when you got on the VRV, immediately out the gate, I think it was VA the Fairway. Somebody was putting together something for a different charity or something. But you do a lot of work as far as with charities, or even you just hinting on it with some memorials and stuff like that. But I know this Josh Powell Foundation is near and dear to you. So do you want to hit on that for a little bit?
Yeah, so I came across the Josh Powell Foundation through a Facebook post that one of my Army colleagues put up one night. I was actually in Columbia, South Carolina for a drill weekend when I came across her post, and she posted the YouTube video that tells the story of Josh and Fabi Powell. And for some reason, I mean, it really hit a nerve. Josh is a West Point alum.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Fabi met one night in Nashville. And shortly after they started dating, Josh was diagnosed with synovial sarcoma cancer. And their story is just very, very touching. Here are two young people in the prime of their lives. Josh has everything going for him. He went to Ranger School, and you know, he was destined to do great things. He played on the West Point football team, and Fabi was visiting Nashville from California, and they met each other, and a great love story. And then the love story takes a hit when Josh is diagnosed with sarcoma. In the next 2 years that they had together, they lived life to the fullest. Josh did not let sarcoma take him down, you know, emotionally. It may have taken him down physically, but he and Fabi seized every opportunity to take everything that they were given and enjoy it to the fullest.
Yeah.
And Fabi's story, she was determined that after Josh died 2 years later, that she would carry on his legacy and his story. And so she founded the Josh Powell Foundation. And what they do is they raise awareness through charity events and other fundraisers on behalf of anyone going through battles like Josh's with sarcoma.
Yeah.
She partners with MD Anderson Medical Center out of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Tennessee to just do different things for sarcoma cancer patients.
Yeah.
So I hit her up one night and I said, you know, hey, I'm Brian. I have a business called the Patriot Moose, and what I'm trying to do is I want to align Patriot Moose with a charitable organization. I came across your story, could we join forces? And I was about to shut my computer down for the night when I got a response back from her, and surprisingly, she said yes. And here we are 2 years later. What we've done is we made a flag for her with a JPF logo and the Ranger tab on one half and the American flag on the other. We presented it to her at a charity music event in Nashville.
Yeah.
In early 2019. And then in July of 2019, we did a CrossFit type charity workout for her and JPF in Ashburn here in Virginia. And I just reached out to her a few minutes ago and asked her, hey, you know, we would like to, I just want to touch base and confirm that we're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
This coming summer. So I'm waiting for her to for her response. What we want to do is we want to obviously grow it, and using the network connections that I have and what she has here in the DC area, and using the network connections that the gym that graciously hosted at our first event. Just bringing all the forces together to take it to the next level. We had 42 participants at the charity at the first workout.
Yeah.
We raised $2,500 or $2,800. And she was beyond touched by it. We definitely want to do it again.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I saw it. When you came up with that, you were extremely, extremely passionate, man. I love that, dude.
It was huge for us.
Yeah. That's been across the board with, like, not only veterans, but veteran business owners, man. Everybody is so active in giving back to different charities, foundations, whatever. There's, like, there could be a helping hand somewhere. The amount of support that pours in is absolutely incredible. And I love seeing it because, kind of like your flags, I could see your passion through your post with everything, man. It was awesome. So that's really cool, dude. So that's great.
I think once, you know, whatever service creed we learn, whatever ethos is instilled in us from the beginning of our time of service, service just doesn't ever leave us when we take off the uniform. It's just ingrained in us.
Right.
So I think that's what is so pervasive throughout our community.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we may not be wearing the uniform anymore, but there are needs that are out there that people have, and we can meet those needs some way, somehow.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. 100%. No, I freaking love it, dude. But it's great. I love seeing stuff. And that's why, thank you for talking about that Josh Powell Foundation. Cause you know, there's a lot of people that don't, I had no idea about it until, you know, we had talked a while ago. So it was pretty cool, man. So thanks for doing that and sharing that with us.
Yeah. We'll have to have you come out for the second event so that you can meet Fabi in person. And
do I have to work out? That's my thing.
we had some great sponsors too. We had Assault Forward, you're familiar with them.
Yep.
5-Eleven, one of the 5-Eleven mm-hmm. stores came out, and it was a great hit. And it was neat to see everyone wear the t-shirts during the workout. I mean, it was fantastic. So we'll have to come out for the next one.
Dude, absolutely. Well, speaking of that, because maybe we could do that in conjunction, because Brian's also the chapter president of the Northern Virginia chapter out there, so which we need to get up and get going a bit. But maybe that's something we could work in VRV social in conjunction with that somehow. So yeah, we could talk about that offline, but that'd be a nice too for there.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. So yeah, real quick, what, because we were talking offline, of course, before we started on this stuff, but what's one of the things that you've, I guess, lessons learned since doing with Patriot Moose, and then obviously trying to hold a full-time job at the same?
yeah, what do we have? well, it sounds so cliche, but have a freaking plan.
Yeah.
I tend to get overly ambitious. My fiance says I'm very passionate, and that passion transfers into maybe a little bit of overzealous.
Mm-hmm.
Overzealousness, if that's a word, but yeah, have a plan. I attempted to sit down. Well, I did sit down and I attempted to write a business plan, mm-hmm. but I didn't even know what I was doing there. And So that would be the first lesson. The second thing is learn when to say no.
Yeah.
You can't please everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are seeking to please everyone, then you're doing what you're doing for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Number three is talk to people who have done this before and know what they're doing, and just learn. Just be open to learning.
Right.
There are people out there that have tried over and over and over again, failed over and over before they succeeded the one time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of people that you need to learn from, especially.
Yeah.
And then, you know, going back to learning to when to say no, I can tell you for every one, like, solid hit that we had, we've had, you know, four or five strikeouts.
Right.
We did a craft show and devoted a lot of time and effort and resources into it. And the craft show overall, for some reason or another, was a bomb.
Hmm.
And it was right around, I want to say it was right around Christmas time too. And we just couldn't understand, we didn't understand why nothing was coming of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another time where at the same craft show, a lady stopped by and she worked for a foundation that helps homeless veterans find homes.
Mm-hmm.
She invited us to a gala event. We went to the gala event, donated two flags for auction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we put feelers out there to the organization president, said, hey, we want to align the Patriot Moose with an ongoing, with your organization for an enduring relationship.
Yeah.
And that didn't pan out.
Hmm.
So not every opportunity is going to stick.
And I think you need to have the mentality of a lesson learned right off it, because you know, even everything I freaking do usually bomb, but you know, usually whether it be a couple weeks or the next day or whatever, maybe a year, you'd be like, ah, that's why it happened. You know, there's a reason why that happened.
Yeah.
So
I think, you know, learning when to say no is definitely a huge lesson learned. So I think those are the three biggest lessons that we've learned. And then number four, I would say, is know your craft and seek to make it stand heads above the rest.
Right.
Not that we're in, you know, hot competition with other flag makers out there, but you got to know what you're doing.
And, right.
I admire some of these local flag makers that we have here just in the Virginia area.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all, I don't think all of them are VRV members, but Old Glory 27 Flag Company, or I think is the name. It's one guy out of Stafford, Virginia.
Okay.
And I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's another guy, J. Tread Woodworking. Just amazing, amazing stuff what he does. And he does it by himself.
Hmm.
And there's another guy, he's a former Marine, handcrafted flags. All three of those guys, they know their craft. They know what they're doing. And they're constantly innovating. So that they stand out above the rest. And I think that's That's huge. You got to know what you're doing. And then you got to have the imagination and the vision to take it to the next level.
Right, right. And I think, and you got absolutely great points at that, but you got to be unique. Even though this whatever company may be putting in, you know, crazy amounts of money into manufacturing these flags, selling $300-$500 a piece or something like that, that may not be your niche and people may not want that, you know? So I think a lot of these, I've seen a lot of companies that have come and kind of gone where they're like, oh, nobody wants my product, or they get down on themselves a lot. Cause you know, in their heart, they're like, oh, this is, you know, they're super proud of it, but it may not take off immediately like they want, but you know, you don't give up. There's people out there that want to see this stuff, you know, and a lot of people rely just on social media with selling, and that may need not be the case. But that's why when you said that you were at the craft show and it didn't, you know, it was a bomb, that's really weird, because I think that would be the monster hitter for you.
Yeah, and I think the organizer who invited us out to it, she was a little bewildered too. And I think everyone was trying to figure out why traffic was not what it typically is.
Yeah.
So it's no fault of the organizer, and it's, you know, it was a 50-50 thing. You know, we rolled the dice, and you know, we could have sold out of everything that we had there, or we couldn't have sold anything. We ended up selling two things, but you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
But like I said, not everything will stick, and not everything will be the hit that you want it to be. And I think that brings up lesson number five: is don't require success every time you put something up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, being Korean and coming from a culture that's driven on achievement and success in everything that we touch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard lesson to learn too. Knowing that you're not going to be successful and you're not going to have that high achievement every time you put something out.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, I wasn't even necessarily thinking about the whole with the cultural things. Because, dude, I was reading a thing not too long ago, like Japan. There is such a high suicide rate.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, hand-skilled craftsmen that, you know, if they're not doing something right or whatever, it's brutal over there.
Oh, yeah. So, hey.
Yeah,
I kid you not. I remember watching the movie. I don't know why I chose to watch it, but it was a movie. It was a foreign film, and it was about a woman who set up a noodle shop, and for the longest time, she could not sell noodles because she wasn't cooking them correctly. And it was this whole saga about noodle making, and you know, God forbid she made a bowl of noodles wrong. You know, it was she was the shame of her country. You know,
But
it's a culture driven so much on success and achievement.
Right. And
it almost creates this mythical aura that, you know, I'm going to turn everything that I do into
gold.
Into gold. Come on, man. I mean, the reality of life is not the reality of life.
Yeah. No, but you're one of those people, like I've talked about it. I don't know, everybody knows, we've talked about it before, but I know the networking or the woodworking community is extremely supportive of each other. But on top of that, the veteran community is. And I know that you're one of those people that if another woodworker comes out, he's like, hey, Brian, I love your stuff. Da, 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 da. How are you doing it? I know you'd be one of those ones that would be able to, you know, give me a call. I'll give you some tips and tricks, lessons learned. But there's a lot of people that don't really necessarily reach out. They have their one idea. And it may be, who knows, their Instagram may not be taken off to whatever, because they may have some great products, but the way they're advertising, it's weird. But my thing is people can reach out to absolutely anybody for whatever reason. And it's not like, I think it's different in a sense from the civilian sector. I'm just talking kind of across the board, where it's really cutthroat in that whole arena, where I've found in the veteran community is we are so supportive of each other. I mean, no matter if we're in the same trade or whatever, there is so much dang support within veterans wanting them to help each other succeed, you know, no matter what they're doing, they're owning it, and it's great. So if you're listening out there, whatever, you've got some idea and you want to pass it through, like, give anyone a shout, not only me or Brian, but anybody else. But I truly think that, you know, knowing you, Brian, I'm sure you'd be all about jumping on and helping somebody else out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the guy I was telling you about who runs Handcrafted Flags, Andy,
mm-hmm.
you know, he touched on how he would love it if I could help him out, like be able to craft words in order to convey what he wants to convey on social media.
So
some people are, you know, it's all about the gifts that we have, right?
Right.
You know, some people like myself, I mean, we have a knack with putting together words to convey a certain effect,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, strike a certain emotion. Others are gifted with their hands and they can put things together, whether it's repair, building something from scratch. So it's all about gifts and the sharing of gifts.
Right.
I think just like we would share TTPs out in the field, you know, in order to make ourselves more effective,
mm-hmm.
We would do the same for each other.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I think you're 100% correct. You gotta. I think it comes to, you know, with sucking up, sucking up some of your pride a bit and be like, you know, I need to reach out for this and I'm not good at this. And like me, I'm horrible with words. Like in my mind, I know it. Excuse me, I know what I want to say. But if I sit on a computer and start typing something up, oh my gosh, I can't do it. I don't know why. It doesn't work. I wish I could pay people to, you know, even like doing blogs or whatever stuff else, you know, I'm every post I do every morning, Brian, like I'm seriously sitting there for like an hour trying to figure out the correct wording to how to represent this business, but I'm like, I suck at my words. And I'm like, it's always so hard for me. But you know, even with I love drawing, I love graphic design stuff, and I'd love to do my own stuff, but I'm not good enough. And so that's why, you know, with my logo and all that, but and I love showcasing and bringing in other people where they not take your idea and be like, oh, this is mine. They like, what are you wanting to portray? And they bring that out in you. And I love that. So,
yeah.
But anyways, yeah, man. So, no, it's cool. But no, I appreciate you jumping on here a bit, man, and sharing everything with what you're doing. I think it means a lot where, you know, really kind of the way you've grown your organization and then so rapidly, but then, you know, kind of reassessing for this year and upcoming years on the stance you want to take with the Patriot Moose. But your flags look great, man. I love the hand-painted look. Don't go to the screen printing, Dean. Don't.
Yeah. You know, I often think about what I want to do when I get out.
When you grow up.
Yeah. Well, the growing up will never happen. Yeah. My fiance will tell anyone that, but my mandatory retirement date is in 9 years. I mean, I have to be out, and yeah. I thought about what do I want to do? You know, the typical veteran becomes a contractor, does something with, you know, the government, right? Because they just can't get that blood out of them or whatever.
Right. Well, I don't know, Brian, because a lot of these guys have become woodworkers in CrossFit, and you've got both going on. You just need to start an apparel company and some coffee, and you're going to be golden.
Right. So I think what I want to do, though, in all seriousness, is I do want to get into I definitely want to grow the Patriot Moose. And then second of all, I want to get into coaching bringing functional fitness, not CrossFit, but bringing functional fitness to adaptive athletes. And by adaptive athletes, we're talking about, for those who don't know, those who have upper and lower extremity disabilities, either through congenital birth defects or because of some kind of trauma, combat related or accident related. And I want to also bring functional fitness to our older generation where, you know, let's not fall so readily for the medical community's prescription of, hey, your life is bound to this walker or to this cane or to this medication. So that's what I want to get into. And, you know, that's going to be a whole different ballpark for me, you know, because definitely going to need a good, solid, concrete plan. Have to really lay the foundations now. For that, whether it's through experience or through knowledge, but it's gonna be different,
dude. I like that. I think that's really good because I think you're really tapping into, you know, the suicide type of things as well. You know, for a lot of people feeling depressed and they can't do this and that, and you know, they're, you know, even with the opioid crisis and all that. But I think something like that, especially reaching towards an audience of the older generation too, in there getting them physically active and all that, I think would be great. I think that's absolutely incredible. I'd love to follow that once you get that going, and whatever help you need or connections you need from my end, man, you let me know, because I think that'd be great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, right on, Brian. Well, I'll stay tuned for that stuff, because that sounds cool, man. That really interests me. So. But yeah, man, do you got anything else to hit on before we set off here?
No, hey man, I really appreciate the opportunity that you gave for me to be on here. Sure. I've always wondered what it's like to be on a podcast, so here, you know, can cross that off my bucket list, right? And but hey, what in all seriousness, what you're doing with BRV is really cool. I don't think, well, there definitely isn't the resource that you're providing. There isn't that resource out there. I whatever I can do to help, you know, make it more prominent, make it more known, I'd be glad to help out.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You know, I really thought that VRV Nova would grow, and but you know. When the time comes, we're definitely going to plant the seeds and cultivate them. And, you know, but what you're doing is freaking amazing. You're doing it by yourself, from what I can tell.
Me and my wife,
That's no easy task.
Yeah. No, but it's great because I've got awesome supporters like you, you know, and you hit it on the VRV Nova thing, and you never, like, that's the thing, you never know where this is going to take off, and a lot of people are, you know, they poke the VRV with a stick, and I think you did a bit too to see, you know, what we're really all about, and it's all about bringing together the community, the veteran community, the local community, and just showcasing our businesses, resources, and just building each other up. And there's nothing else secret, hidden, anything done beyond that. But for those of you that are listening, we the Northern Virginia chapter, because we talked about doing, you know, just a Virginia chapter or this and that, but then the concentration of veterans in the Northern Virginia area, I thought we came up with that it was best suited for Brian to tackle that. So we'll get more on going on that and concentrate more, because this I wanted to honestly dedicate more time to it, and then everything started blowing up kind of left and right. So but no, we'll get it going out there, because I want to come out there and meet you. I'd love to help establish the VRV out there so it can be a self-sustaining force, you know, kind of under the Patriot Moose out there, and just, you know, where you guys can all come together and help each other out. So it'd be cool. All right, but right on, dude. So no, I appreciate it, man. Keep doing what you're doing with the Army. I think it's great. I don't care about your after combat patch. So I think you're awesome, dude. And I love what you're doing. Thanks for doing all the charities, fundraisers, this Josh Powell Foundation, man. You're great, dude. So looking forward to seeing what you're doing with this, with your new exercise adventure. So until next time, brother, you take it easy, man.
All right, thanks, you too.
All right, man. See ya. All right.
Thank you for supporting businesses listed on the VRV. You can find this business and other vetted businesses and nonprofits at veteransreferringveterans.com. The listings on the website have been personalized with product photos and direct contact information. Thank you again for your support.